Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hi, I'm Daisy Green, Knowledge Exchange Manager for Dairy at AHDB. And in this episode of the Food and Farming Podcast, I'm looking at grass quality at the midpoint in this grazing season. According to the Financial Times, we have experienced the wettest 18 months since records began in 1836. The start of spring 2024 delayed turnout for many and set farmers off with a less than optimal first round. Staggering on-off grazing to avoid poaching damage, weighing up the cost of supplementing feed or keeping cows in full time, left us hoping that things would improve as the season went on. Now in July, we're seeing good growth and some sunny spells, but many are finding grass quality, especially proteins, are low, and as a result, milk production has dropped. Today, I'll be hearing from Pasture to Profit consultant Bess Jowsey of LIC Cogent and AHDB Forage for Knowledge farmer Richard Tucker to discuss what they're seeing on farm and how to manage this so-called green drought.
Hi, Bess. Thanks for joining me today. So in your role with LIC Cogent, you're out on farm quite a lot. Is poor grass quality an issue for farmers this year that you're seeing?
Hi, Daisy. Thanks for the invite. So I work as a Pasture to Profit consultant in North England and Scotland. So I think that's important to understand, you know, what I'm seeing on farm kind of comes from the north end of the country. Although chatting with my colleagues, they are seeing, you know, similar things around the UK. So yes, grass quality has been a real challenge this year in terms of not just in terms of ME, but also protein percentages. What we're seeing on farm is probably one of the most challenging grazing seasons in my 14 years in the UK. Growth rates extremely variable. Cows seem to be unsettled. Their behaviour's unsettled. That's impacting production. We don't need to rehash the spring that we've had and, you know, the impact that's had on grass and swards coming into the main grazing part of the year. Most farmers are starting to get the actual ME in terms of grass quality back on track. It has been poorer this year, I would say, because of the challenging grazing seasons this spring. The residuals haven't been achieved as well on our first and second rotations around the farm. Farmers using various different grazing strategies to try and protect soils have not always meant that residuals have been achieved. So, yeah, there's been probably a lot more mechanical correction to get those residuals reset after that. Obviously, we've also just come through a period of time where grass has been going to seed. Hopefully, we're seeing the back of that now. But also what we're seeing on farm is that grass doesn't look overly happy. It kind of looks like odd colours, you know, yellow tinging, singeing, that sort of thing from the cold winds. The MEs seem to be coming back in line now, but it's the sort of grass protein percentages that have been maybe persistently low. It's not unusual to see grass proteins be low when we get a really significant growth event. So if we think back to early May, when we had growth rates of, you know, over 100 for a lot of farmers, the physiology of the grass changes when grass grows at that speed. And that's obviously around the same time as a lot of people would have been taking their first cut silage. Potentially, you might be looking at protein levels in your silage not as high as you would hope them to be. So that's something to be mindful of coming into the back end and what that's going to do for winter milk production. On top of that, because of the challenging ground conditions, which possibly some farmers are still seeing even now, we've maybe not been able to go on as regular with our slurry or, you know, our nitrogen applications. Certainly earlier on in the spring, those were delayed significantly. So we're probably seeing less nitrate in the ground. It's actually going up into the grass plants, meaning that grow proteins are lower. The other catalyst for the low proteins is normally we would be seeing clover really starting to dominate swards. I'm only just starting to see that in the last sort of week, 10 days, where clover is starting to become more predominant in grazing swards. At this time of year, a large part of your grass protein would be coming from clover, particularly if you're an organic system. And that's just been so much later this year because the soil temperatures haven't been as high, so our clovers haven't really been doing their thing in the soil, contributing to that protein in the sward. So yeah, fingers crossed over the next couple of months it will really start to hum.
And so when we're talking about poor quality, we're kind of specifically focusing on that crude protein content. Recent grass data from Forage for Knowledge suggests that for our farmers that contribute, that we're seeing, you know, growth rates are similar to last year, and ME, as you were saying, is kind of starting to stabilize. So we should be getting those intakes of like 18 kilos of dry matter a day. But with low protein, how is that translating to litres in the tank?
So usually in a pasture-based system or a grazing system where cows are, you know, getting 75% to 90% of their diet from grazed grass, normally the major impact on production we would see would actually be energy. But unusually this year also, we are seeing protein percentages affect milk production. So that's like the secondary level. So if we think about, I mean, typically we'd see protein percentages in grass, you know, above 20%. But this year, I mean, you know, I've seen some sward samples, you know, down as low as 13% this year.
For our contributors, the average in our group for Forage for Knowledge is 14.3 as of beginning of July. So yeah, a lot lower than what we'd be expecting to see.
Yeah, so we'd usually be saying, well, you know, our cows are grazing cows. There's plenty of protein in grass. We won't need to worry about protein in the diet. But this year, it's not been the case. It's not unusual in organic systems to see this play out every year. And that's that whole trade-off between waiting for the, you know, when the grass is growing, but the clover is not really doing its thing. So what conventional farmers are seeing is more what an organic farmer would deal with every year, where grass proteins are sub 19, 18, 17%. We know that for our, well, early to mid lactation cows, we'd be wanting, you know, the part of their diet, protein part of their diet should be hopefully 16, 17% at least. So that's where we're seeing that trade-off coming into play. Probably part of the decision-making for pasture-based farmers has been, do I necessarily want to spend extra money buying protein in the concentrate? You know, is there going to be margin in that spend? And ultimately, depending on where your milk price is and depending on where your seasonality might be in your milk contract, you know, the only person that can really answer that is themselves. doing that calculation themselves and knowing whether spending money on protein bought in their concentrate is going to be beneficial and actually be make profit, or whether it's just going to be buying volume and buying fat and protein.
How can people try to deal with the low quality that we're seeing? How is that practically managed on farm, would you be saying?
The basic principles of pasture management don't change, even though we're in an odd year. So the most important thing really is to maintain those residuals. So whatever you need to do to try and make sure those residuals are consistent and even, hopefully, you know, 15 to 1600, that's going to protect the quality of that sward on the following rotations and therefore, you know, the production going forwards. As always, it's a balance between predicting production in the future and protecting production today. So depending on where protein levels are in your grass swards are, you may look at, you know, bringing some extra protein in next time you're ordering some dairy cake. But realistically, if you're spring calving, for example, you know, cows are coming into mid-lactation, so that might be less critical now. Maintaining residuals, so measuring regularly, walking the farm, monitoring residuals almost on a daily basis when the cows are coming back out of the paddock, double checking, making sure they're not substituting. So if I'm feeding them a bit of extra concentrate, make sure they're not just replacing grass, you know, make sure that you are still achieving those residuals. Actually, what I'm seeing in the area up here at the moment is a lot of farms are struggling with growth rates a little bit. They're not seeing the same levels of growth rates that they would typically see. So in that regard, it's extremely important that we also are making sure we hit our residuals so that we are utilising as much grass as we possibly can on farm.
You've spoken about clover a little bit, but away from the SFI conversation of, you know, adding herbs and legumes and things into a sward, do you see a benefit for that in a year like this when proteins are down to have a clover-rich sward?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, preconceived ideas about the potential negative impacts of clover. And you know, just in things like, a classic example is things like bloat, and, you know, farmers are almost fearful of it. But, you know, there's a great deal of farmers out here that manage with a lot of clover in their swards and sometimes rely on clover in an organic system. And you know, it can all be mitigated. So yes, 100%, I believe clover has a big role to play in terms of maintaining that pasture quality, especially if, heaven forbid, we do end up seeing a dry spell / drought this year as well, or, you know, in future years. I mean, that clover really does help in those situations to maintain not just the protein percentage, but in terms of overall pasture quality. So it's a critical part, I think, of a pasture-based production system I can see going into the future. And farmers shouldn't be fearful of the small amount of challenges that it might bring, because it, you know, can have a significant positive impact.
AHDB recently ran the Curious About Clover campaign, which goes into detail about the practical management of clover on farm. So there are some resources that I'll link with this podcast for people who are interested, because, as you say, the benefits certainly outweigh the, not challenges, but like you say, the preconceptions that people have. Mm-hmm. We're at the midpoint of the grazing season now. What has been. Looking forward, is silage a priority? I mean, do I talk about closing the round, or am I being a bit keen?
Realistically, we do actually start thinking about planning for next year's grazing once we get into August. So no, it's not too early to mention it. It's very much on the immediate horizon because, you know, August will be here before we know it. I think ultimately we just need to be mindful of maintaining those residuals. If we've managed to get grass quality back now, we want to just maintain that as far as we can to the back of the seat and to the back of the grazing season. So, yeah, again, just comes back to walking the farm, using the information you collect to make good decisions. A lot of what I'm seeing in terms of things not going well on farm are actually because decisions have been made slightly too late. You know, like even 5 to 7 days can have quite a big impact, negative impact on overall grass growth or residual quality or average farm cover, etc. So yeah, mindful that in August we would start thinking about building average farm cover to then manage through into our last rotation. For a lot of farmers, maybe you've got a bulky first cut silage, but are really wanting to get some quality silage in the next couple of months if they can. So that could be a competition, you know, between actually getting some more silage in the clamp, quality silage in the clamp, and also wanting to start building our average farm covers. So those are things that farmers will need to be mindful of on the horizon and prepare for, you know, as we come into August and September.
But hopefully it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, let's hope there's not a drought on the horizon. Otherwise, that will be so many different extreme weather events all in one year, which is, I think it has been a challenge, certainly mentally for farmers, as well as physically. You know, like you say, you don't want to be damaging paddocks when we were trying to get an early turnout and a mixture of on-off grazing and supplementing feed and the costs rising. So hopefully, if you're saying, you know, quality is on the up and growth rates are there and just nailing residuals, we can hopefully set ourselves back on the right track for the end of the season.
Yeah, it's maybe not been as prevalent down south, but you know, the cooler daytime temperatures and the lack of sunshine up here is really having an impact. Nature gives back. My experience over the last 14 years, that at least If she takes from one part of the year, she gives back in another part of the year. So I'm very much hopeful that she's going to give us a bumper autumn and everyone will get their clamps filled as well as hitting all their average farm cover targets for the back end. And some better sunlight and some slightly higher daytime temperatures would certainly help us in the north to get that growth rate kicking on as well. I think probably one thing to be mindful of is a lot of farmers have found this year really, really stressful and are actually still finding it quite stressful. So we need to also bear in mind that we can't get everything right all the time. All the experience that you are gaining this year is going to be valuable for future years. So don't feel like you're constantly failing. Just stick with those basic principles that you know, relating to where should my average farm cover be, where should my pre-grazing covers be and my residuals be. If you try not to deviate too far from that, you can't go too far wrong given the conditions that you are farming in at the moment. So just make sure you bank the experience and remember to pull it out when you need it in the future.
That was Pasture to Profit consultant Bess Jowsey. And in this podcast, we're focusing on grass quality at the midpoint of the grazing season. After hearing from Bess, I wanted to get an on-farm perspective of the impact of low grass quality and how one farmer has been managing this through data.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for speaking to me today. We've heard from Bess about what the wider industry has been experiencing this spring, summer. I mean, we're technically in summer now. But I want to hear from you as one of our AHDB Forage for Knowledge farmers, what you've been experiencing. So for our listeners, could you explain your system to us, please?
Oh, hi, Daisy. Yeah, Richard Tucker. We farm in mid-Devon, just on the outskirts of Tiverton. And we've been block spring calving for a good 20 years now. So we've been doing it for quite a while. I've seen quite a few things along the way due to sort of the nature of the farm and sort of the topography and breakup of land in mid-Devon. We are pretty highly stocked on our milking platform. So we're just under 240 cows on 64 hectare grazing platform, but we've got a load of support land as well, which we did bring silage into to feed in peaks and troughs throughout the year. So yeah, that's pretty much us. And this year's been when did it start raining? Last July, something like that. And then we had a wet autumn and it went right on through. Grass quality, we normally sort of aim to reseed 10% of the paddock of the platform every year. Yeah. And we do that in the spring, and we always have done in the spring and always will do, because that's so that sort of fits in with us pretty well. And we got them in and they were sort of just coming out, and then June was just dull, dry and cold, and that probably had the biggest effect here on grass quality and cows as well, and production. We were getting fresh grass samples back. We were Forage for Knowledge members for Devon for probably 4 or 5 years now, and getting fresh weight protein samples of 12% protein back was just like, what's going on here? But it didn't half explain why cows weren't milking very well. Like, the MEs were okay, we were sort of 12 and a half MEs, like we were on top of residuals and stuff, and it's just, we didn't have the sunlight, it was so cold, everyone was going around with a woolly hat and a jumper on, and it was far from ideal timing production wise, and we were right in the middle of breeding then as well. Just on the back of that, we ended up moving to we'd gone down to our normal sort of 12-14% protein summer dairy cake, just feeding a couple of kilos or so. And then we were soon back up to an 18% cake, and that saw a litre a day rise sort of pretty much straight away. And then it coincided with a drop of growth rates, and there by end of June, then we were then feeding silage growth rates here were sort of 40s, sort of high 30s for a couple of weeks, and average pasture cover was sort of 2,000, just hovering just below. So we have had rain now the last sort of week, 10 days, and the place has picked up, greened up, but kind of because it's June and everything's going to seed now, so that's kind of challenging quality that way.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it's kind of been almost like a shadow year, that it's looked like what you've been expecting, and in terms of management you stuck to what you would usually do, but just that grass quality being a bit variable and then having to combat that on farm. So I mean, for you as a Springbok calver, you know, low proteins this time of year, that's definitely reflected in your milk production, as you've mentioned. With the slightly lower quality that we've been experiencing, for you, Richard, what has been your biggest management challenge on farm at the midpoint? You know, like the spring, it sounds like, you know, you did your on-off grazing and you're expecting to be out quite early usually for your system anyway. This sort of June, July period, what's been your biggest challenge? And then with a view to, I mean, closing your round, but gosh, that's quite a way away for you in November.
It's been never ending, really. We did a lot of on-off grazing there in the spring, but that's kind of what you have to do to keep things ticking over. You've got freshly calved cows, so you've got to look after them. And but kind of from now on, yeah, we've got like almost a second spring in now. We've had a bit of unsettled couple of weeks, and it's sort of warmed up a bit. The problem is just we can't rush to build covers because we're just going to go to seed. There'll be a little bit of probably post mowing. It's yin and yang as far as pre-mowing and post mowing is, as far as I'm concerned. I'd sooner pre-mow, but just we have got a hot few days by the looks of it coming up, and it does put quite a bit of pressure on water supply if you do end up pre-mowing. That would be my only step. But yeah, if it come in a bit damp and drizzly, I'd pre-mow all the time. We've pre-mowed, I think, four, maybe five paddocks at the minute. So we haven't done a huge amount. We're pretty much on top of it, but there are a couple of paddocks that seed heads are just getting a bit ahead that we might end up doing some mechanical with them. Hopefully, if we've regular bits of rain throughout the summer would be quite handy. And then we keep the grass growing. There won't be a nitrogen amnesty. We'll just be ticking along with sort of, 20, 24, 5 units around, kilos and a hectare around, and go from there, and then hopefully that the mother nature plays ball and we can have a pretty benign autumn, average rainfall.
Yeah, here's hoping for average. That's what I want.
A massive thank you to Bess Jowsey and Richard Tucker for speaking to me today, and to you for listening. I hope you found it useful as we build a picture of how the 2024 grazing season is unfolding, and hopefully when we check in at the close of the round, we will have had a kinder autumn. If you'd like more information about anything discussed on the podcast, please check out the HDB website and make sure to follow our social channels. My name is Daisy Green, Knowledge Exchange Manager for Dairy, and you've been listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.